This is VSiN by the Books on VSiN, the sports betting network.
We begin hour number three here of VSiN by the Books. Dave Ross and Jensen Lewis here. I am downtown Las Vegas at Circus Sports. Our closer, Jensen Lewis, back home in Cleveland, Ohio. Jensen with my uncle, Uncle Larry, visiting mom and dad. And they're asking about your history, and obviously you being there in Cleveland. They want to know, did you know Joe Niekro or the Niekro brothers personally?
Met them, boy, in my years up here, of course, the Niekro family, so intertwined in the baseball community.
Yes.
And the community at large up here. So, I met them at some point, I feel like through spring training or well, obviously have a lot of alumni that come through the ballpark throughout the summer. So, yes, very important to the history of the ball club here, and great people, great family. So, of course, you talk about some of those people. We just had the passing of Rocky Calavito, mm-hmm. One of the great heroes in the Italian community, just as a person, let alone a hero as a ball player for so many. So we have a great history in Cleveland,
yeah.
Of not just the ball players, but them really ingraining themselves into our community writ large.
Did you ever throw a knuckleball? That's not from mom and dad. That's from me. Did you ever learn the knuckler from the Niekro brothers or use an emery board?
I did not learn it, but I guess if I came back as an opener, I'd love that in my arsenal, just to mix it up, play a little havoc with some people for sure.
And you can be like Tim Wakefield was and just come back and pitch forever
with
that knuckleball.
Yes.
Let's get to it here to begin hour number three, and some big time issues for gamblers out there, possibly in the state of Illinois. It kicks off. News or noise?
Is it news?
Corleone is a man who insists on hearing bad news immediately.
Or just noise?
Are you going to act like this is news?
Just noise. This is noise.
Let's separate the impactful from the insignificant with one simple question. News or noise?
Now, we're going to lead us down the primrose path. We know this is news, but we're going to decipher how much of this will be news and or possibly noise. Because over the weekend, sports bettors in Illinois woke up to the news that their state legislature was considering new taxes to be placed on them for wagers. That tax, we've been talking a lot about taxes today, would be 25 cents for every bet Illinois residents make for the first 20 million bets. And then it goes up to 50 cents thereafter. So I want you to hear from Derek Stevens, of course, who owns Circa right here behind me. He was on Follow the Money yesterday with Mitch and Paul to discuss this, as Circa does have a brick-and-mortar casino that is open and live right now in the great city of Chicago. Let's hear from Derek.
Yeah, I mean, you're putting basically a fee per wager on a bet. So if you take, for example, somebody makes a $1 bet, a 25-cent tax is a 25% deal, so you could kiss those $1, $2, $5, $10 bets. That's going to be the good old days.
If Circa was not in Illinois as of today, and the rules were as stated, would you look to enter that state?
Well, I would look to enter the state today in a different manner. I would look to enter the state with a model that may be a little bit different, like a 12 to 14% hold model. But I don't think a low hold model that Circa would have would make sense under that environment. I mean, effectively, the only ones that can really compete in Illinois are the illegal bookmakers, offshore and illegals.
Yeah. Yeah, boy.
So I think.
What are they doing?
Yeah.
It's not logical. It's not logical. This is not well thought out.
This is not official yet. It's there for the governor, J.B. Pritzker. It's on his desk, but it is expected to pass into law that would begin in July. Now, again, Matt, I thought Matt Brown, I hope everybody listened to that yesterday on Money Moves with Kelly Bidlin yesterday. And Matt was very passionate in his plea about writing your congressmen, writing your governors and your state legislators here, like the J.B. Pritzkers of the world, and let your voice be heard on this. Because, by the way, that's why Derek Stevens is the best. Like, he's not advocating for this. It's the direct opposite. He's saying, this is a terrible idea, Illinois, and it is. And at Derek's point there, we're trying to come out of the dark ages. That's why he's got the largest legal sports football contest in the world with Circa Millions and Circa Survivor. It's all legal. It's all above board. You know what you're getting. And Derek just laid it out there in plain speak, Jensen. It's going to push people back to the bookie days, offshore wagering, because they're not going to get this tax that states are going to be putting on it. Look, we're all for legalized sports betting. We're all for, this is what we do. And for Illinois to be this short-sighted, as he said, it's a terrible idea. Jensen, is there any other way that you can possibly save face if you're Illinois or other states that might want to do this model?
This is greed. I mean, at the highest level, you're telling me that there aren't other ways to generate additional income in the state in ways that will, you know, actually encourage a win-win for both sides. Like, I don't understand the logic behind this, and Illinois does a lot of things wrong anyway, but I feel like there has to be someone in that room that stands up and says, when we say this out loud, does this even sound logical to us?
Like, why?
You know, would we even be some, like, put yourself in one of your state citizens' shoes and say, would I even entertain doing this? Does this even sound like something like, okay, that's palatable for me? It's not even palatable. And even then, you know, you're looking at it as, this is kind of not fun for me anymore. Why would I do this? This is going to take away from it. Like, there are a lot of states that generate a lot of income from legalized sports gambling. This is almost on par with Leon Rose letting go of Tom Thibodeau yesterday. Like, what? How do you explain this? This makes no sense whatsoever.
By the way, perfect questions too from Mitch and Paul, in that if you weren't already there and you didn't have a pre-existing casino now there for Circa, which has been there now for a couple of years, would you go into Illinois now? And I thought Derek's answer was very candid. Like, they would rethink it. They'd probably do it because you still want to branch out your business, obviously, like Circa has done. There's new properties in Kentucky as well. But it's like, now all of a sudden, you're making it a deterrent. You're actually making it a deterrent for people like Derek to come into your state. So I thought these were great questions and very candid answers by Derek. And I do think that's why a lot of people, they're going to gravitate here to do it where there's not that 25 cents tax for every wager you make. I'm with you. It just feels like greed from the state of Illinois. I hope JB Pritzker and the others come to their senses and don't sign this, but it does feel inevitable. And I just think, to their points, you're going to drive people into corners they don't want to go because they're going to want to gamble and not waste that money on this elevated tax. And then as it keeps going up, it's going to double that tax. So if the argument is, well, we don't want you to gamble, like, we're looking out for you, you're just upping the tax on it and saying this is an unhealthy thing, so we're going to double that tax to maybe shy you away from doing this. If that's the moral high ground you're taking in the state of Illinois, I'm not down with that program, Jensen. I think we're all, if as long as you're a consenting adult and this is something you want to enter in, I don't know why they would say, you know what, we're going to tax that as a deterrent.
Again, the idea for a lot of these states to legalize sports gambling was this was going to be an influx of money for the state.
Which it has been.
It was going to be. And I can tell you in Ohio, and maybe I've told you the story. If I haven't, I think it's a great example. Ohio was late to the party where Indiana, Michigan, Pennsylvania, it was a horseshoe around us. I even think Kentucky had it before we did. So years ago for the Super Bowl, people were driving. I was doing radio shows and people were driving across state lines for the geolocators to place their Super Bowl bets and then drive back. I mean, and again, for any state legislator or any governor that's seeing it, it's like, that's money leaving my state. Like, hello, this is economics 101. So it makes absolutely no sense. You're making hand over fist already. Like, I would love to see the breakdown of how they justified needing the additional tax.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm pretty sure they're probably doing fine with the amount of people that are betting in the state of Illinois already and the amount of money that's coming in. Show me where you're at a shortfall of where you need the extra bump of the tax to make up for or to pay for. More importantly, what is the I would, as a citizen, what is this paying for? You want to tax me? Okay. What's it paying for? Tell me why I'm getting these 25 to 50 cents on every additional wager here after 20 million. Tell me where this is going, and then we'll see after that.
JB Pritzker, it's never too late to do the right thing. Just don't sign it.
Amen.
Let's hope somehow they come to their senses on that one. And again, then just come out to Vegas. Derek's got plenty of properties here. They're not going to charge you that. Or go to Kentucky and check out that new book there, too, as well. Circa is expanding here. Yes, they're still there in Illinois. That, by the way, don't get mad at Derek if this thing passes. Nothing he can do. As a matter of fact, as he pointed out with Mitch and Paul, he would like to do the direct opposite of what it looks like they're going to be doing there in the state of Illinois. So just some food for thought out there before you place those wagers. And no, there are other opportunities in different states that are not going to do what it looks like Illinois might do. If you want to bet smarter before you place those wagers, you should be a VSiN Pro subscriber. All you have to do is go to VSiN.com/subscribe right now. You're going to get $41 off your annual subscription by using the promo code BOOK. You're going to get your daily best bets emailed right there to you. Bill 80 does a great job of that each and every day for you VSiN Pro subscribers. You already know that. Exclusive betting splits, the VSiN Watch app that will be at your perusal whenever you want. And the NFL betting guide is coming out July 1st as well. So no better time to be a VSiN Pro subscriber. And oh, by the way, how about this? Josh Applebaum. You're going to get a free pre-order of his book, NFL Sharp Betting Playbook. It's all there for you when you become a VSiN Pro subscriber.
By the books, right here on VSiN.
We are back, VSiN by the books. Dave Ross, Jensen Lewis, going to have Adam Burke join us here in the next segment, talking all things Major League Baseball. And then Wes Reynolds will join us to round out hour number three today. And again, cannot wait to get Wes's thoughts on the RBC and maybe sneak in a little Pacers talk. I mean, it'd be rude not to, right, Jensen? We got to get his thoughts on his Indiana Pacers.
I can't wait to see what his thoughts are, too, with the disrespect of the series price. $7? That'd be damned. Come on. These are the yesers. Who do you think you are?
I will say this. He did like the Pacers against the Knicks going into that series, taking all the homer bias aside. It was just the being very objective about it, and he liked the Pacers. I have no idea what he's looking at here when he gets to the Pacers in this series here against OKC. So we'll get Wes's thoughts on that as well. But let's get to our best bets. They are brought to us by G-Bank, the official bank of VSiN. And Jensen, you've been hot. Look, I don't care where you make the money. If you're making the money, you're making the money. You've been pretty hot on your WNBA picks. Do you have a couple plays or at least memes that you're looking at here in the WNBA?
Yeah, we're gonna lean just right now. So no official plays. I was looking at Golden State, the Valkyries, plus 270. A little juicy money line at the Phoenix Mercury. That one tomorrow, I believe. Let me double check the schedule here. But yeah, that one kind of stuck out just by some of the betting splits. Again, if you're a VSiN Pro subscriber, that was kind of something that stuck out to me right there. That is down to plus 250. If you want that number on DraftKings, plus 270 still available at Circa. Did look at the total over 156.5. It has ticked up to 157 on DraftKings. So, yep, just a lean right now. May lock that in later today. VSiN Pro subscribers will get that first. But ultimately, yesterday, Fever was cashing it nice and easy. The 4.5 gets across the line. So, hey, no Caitlin Clark, no problem here on By the Books.
It's nice to get those no sweaters as well as you cash that ticket yesterday. Might have to be a sweat for the Red Sox. It feels like every game that they play, when you have 34 losses and 17 of those are by one run, it's rather staggering here. Do you think that maybe they can get an old-fashioned blowout and sometimes then we have to worry about those one-run sweats here?
Yeah, I actually feel that we've got some correlated plays. These are in pocket for me right now. And the pitching matchup in and of itself, I think, looks for us to have some offense there at Fenway Park today. So I'm going to take the Red Sox on the run line, plus $1.50 there. Lucas Giolito against Jose Soriano. I do like the over 10 as well. Shop around someplace. I think DraftKings still at $1.10.
Mm-hmm.
Circa's at $1.10. I know FanDuel's juiced a little bit to the over, minus $1.14. But again, man, the way that these two pitchers, as I mentioned, they just have not been generating the swing and miss in the strikeout department. I do think that we get some offense today, whether it comes against the starters or the bullpens, quick turnaround today. So I do like both those plays, both in pocket as well.
You know, I was watching that Royals game. Obviously, I think a lot of probably all of Kansas City was watching to see Jack Gags coming up there and getting his major league debut yesterday. Did not have a hit in his plate appearances. But Jensen, you just watch the kid and he looks so hitterish up there. He just looks like he's ready to mash. But the lineup got a little bit deeper yesterday when you watched the Royals. In the bottom half, actually, they were down 7-2. They come back and get a nice 10-7 win there. Is there a carryover effect with Jack in the lineup now, or do you think maybe that was a one-day aberration? Because it did feel like there's a little bit more pep in their step as a team yesterday.
Oh, I think that anytime you bring up a top prospect and that big league club knows they've been struggling in a department. And, you know, we've documented it extensively here that this is a Kansas City Royal team that is dead last in home runs. Mm. Just food for thought. You talk about a jolt to the system or the guys being quote unquote jacked up. How about his ground out yesterday was the fourth hardest hit by any Royals big league hitter all year. 112 off the bat. Ground out, fourth hardest hit ball by a Royals hitter all season.
He got robbed three times yesterday.
Great plays. Victor Scott.
Oh my goodness.
We are coming for Victor Scott. You got to be kidding me. You are taking money out of people's pockets. This is ridiculous.
That ball's off the wall. He's running from, maybe it's a triple. Who knows? And then Arenado does Arenado things at third.
And goes deep
in the hole for one. And then another great play, like two great plays to rob him. Like, it looks like Jack Caglione is going to be the real deal here, even though he had zero hits. But one player does not make a full bet. So are you looking to fade the Royals today?
So I think this matchup kind of lends itself a bit more to getting back onto the St. Louis Cardinals side. And again, just seeing, you know, where Noah Cameron and by rights, the guy has been really solid in his limited starts.
Yep.
Miles Michaelis, we talked about Andrew Abbott, has been sort of under the radar, maybe nationally for the run that he's been on. Miles Michaelis has been really good the last two to three times through the rotation. So he's got enough kind of sleepy stuff, if you will. It's not going to overwhelm you. But I do think that this Cardinal offense bounces back here. This is a big rivalry. People don't really understand if you're not in the Midwest. These two teams, especially the way they're playing right now, there's a lot to play for. And you know, this is a great little mini rivalry in the heartland there. So, yeah, I think the Cardinals get the better of the Royals by two or more today.
You know, in my Meet the Mets group text last night, and we were wondering, you know, when the Mets get all these healthy arms, who's going to be the odd man out? Is it going to be McGill, who was, after giving up four early yesterday, he was really good the rest of the way. That's all he gave up. Dodgers came back and won this game in extras. Second straight night in extras. Griffin Canning could be a candidate to be bumped out of that rotation if they don't want to go six-man, but he's been pretty good as well. But Jensen, going up against Tony Gonsolin today for the Dodgers and Mets, with the back-to-back extra innings, and you get to those bullpens in some situations. Kershaw couldn't get through five last night. His defense kind of failed him a little bit. It wasn't all his fault. Would you look to this today and say maybe this is an overplay at minus $1.12, over 9.5, figuring those bullpens have already been taxed, and maybe you got to let these guys eat a little bit longer, even if they come into trouble?
This is going to be official play for me. I'm going to lock in right now. I'm going to take the Dodgers in the run line. I'll take them plus $1.36, I believe. I'm going to shop around here for just a minute. No, let me take that back. Plus $1.40. We'll take them on FanDuel. So again, make sure you find the better price there. I do think that there is a little bit of a carryover effect with that, Dave, and the Dodger offense. God, the way Max Muncy's swinging the bat right now. Oh boy. That is going to be a problem for some of the right-handers there for the Mets. Of course, Ohtani and Freeman notwithstanding. But yeah, I absolutely, it's something to factor in, but I'll take the Dodgers offense, 2 or more run win tonight.
It's always interesting, right? The guy that butchers a ball in the fifth for Kershaw and basically leads to 2 unearned runs is the guy that hits the home run in the ninth inning to get him off the hook there. And then ultimately the Dodgers win on a Freddie Freeman fly ball that I still don't think Brandon Nimmo is located. I still think he's spinning around looking for that thing as the Mets lose 6-5 there. We got a G-Bank trifecta for you. It's a $500 trifecta from G-Bank, First Bet, and VEASAN. All you have to do is open up a G-Bank Visa Signature credit card. In the first 90 days, deposit and play through $1,000 at First Bet to trigger the $500 trifecta. You're going to get a $200 cashback reward on your G-Bank Visa Signature credit card when you do just that. Then, First Bet is going to give you a $100 deposit match on top of it. VEASAN is going to complete the trifecta with a free VEASAN Pro subscription through October 31st, which is a $200 value. So that's the $500 trifecta from GBank, First Bet, and VEASAN. Head over to VEASAN.com/GBank. That's VSIN.com/GBank. This is a one-time promotion limited to customers opening up a new account in response to this offer and will not apply to requests to convert existing accounts. Apply today. Terms and conditions do apply. We've been talking a lot of Puck 2 here, Jensen. Nothing yet officially for me. I'm leaning towards that over, and I do believe that's probably what I'll get to before we get to the puck drop tonight. Over 6, slightly juiced at $1.15. What's your thoughts there? Do you like the total more than you do the side?
Yeah, probably. And just kind of knowing some of the great numbers that JD has given us, Jonathan Davis here at the network, I kind of go back to just, you know, where some of the over trends are. So again, for people just joining us, Panthers 12-5 now to the full game over. Mm-hmm. Mentioned those period props too, if people want to jump in specifically. Edmonton 11-5 to the second period over, and then also 12-4 to the third period over. And maybe the one that, you know, just ride it until the wheels fall off. What is it? 9 or 10 straight games in which, it's 11 now, 11 consecutive games in the playoffs that the winning team has won by 2 goals or more. So the puck line has been covered in 11 straight. I think that's the way to go.
Yep. And again, you're going to get plus money either way. So as long as you get a 2-goal win or more by either team, you're going to cash a little bit of profit there. When we come back, let's catch up with our guy, Berkey. Adam Burke's going to join us here to talk some Major League Baseball and beyond. That's next here on VEASAN by the Books.
By the Books, right here on VEASAN.
We are back, VEASAN by the Books. Dave Ross and Jensen Lewis here on this Wednesday edition. Going to have a great conversation with Wes Reynolds in the next segment, talking all things RBC. But right now, let's get to our managing editor here at VEASAN. Joins us on the Progressive Guest Line, Adam Burke. Give him a follow on X at Skating Tripods. Adam, always great to catch up with you on a Wednesday, my friend. Let's talk some Major League Baseball before we get to your specific plays and or plays on the docket today. Some overviews. How much now that we've turned the page to June, do you look at these divisions? And I know Jensen and I talked about it earlier in the Daily Diamond. If you really think these divisions are going to kind of hold form from what we've seen and get into some of these longer parlays and group them all together, are we going to get any more chaos of a team that makes a run? Say when the Nationals won the World Series, they were in last place in May, came all the way back. Is there a team now that maybe is lying in the weeds that could jump up and surprise some people from where they stand today?
Answer to that question is going to be the obvious, where I think Atlanta is a team that can still do it, you know, and until proven otherwise, until they run out of time to really make a run there. In the Nationals, I think they're the team that has the shot. I mean, from a talent standpoint, they're up there. I mean, you could argue they're a top 5 most talented roster in baseball. Mm. AJ Smith-Shawver going down is not great because he was actually pitching pretty well. But, I mean, Spencer Strider is eventually going to get there to expect. You know, Ronald Acuna Jr. being back. They still have a bunch of power guys where it's going to start getting hotter and hotter in Atlanta every single day. I mean, otherwise, you know, I mean, there's so many other teams that are kind of middling right now that have kind of gone on win streaks, Brewers being one of them. the Twins, the Royals, all these teams that are get hot for a little while and then don't play very well for a longer period of time. I don't think any of them are really going to, you know, make a significant run at this thing. And I don't believe can make a big push either. I mean, Baltimore's kind of dead and buried at this point. I don't think the Blue Jays are very good. I don't think the Rays are very good. So to me, I think by default, it's Atlanta, but I don't even know if they have the juice. I think they're the closest team. Not that really anybody this year.
You know, Jensen, that is interesting what Adam brings to the table there in the Braves, because I feel like you and I talk about them a lot, and you should, because to Adam's point, they've got a ton of talent. And then you see Strider, you get taken deep, three times yesterday. Marte got him a couple times. Carroll got one as well. Like, they're still 12-1 to win the division. Is this where we get to that conversation of don't bet them to win the East? The only way to play the Braves is bigger picture in an LCS format.
Yeah, you know, you and I kind of alluded to them a bit earlier in the week, too. Right now, just checking the updated numbers there at DraftKings, 17-1. You can get the Braves to win the National League. And so, to me, it feels as if in that wild card series, if there would be anyone, I threw this hypothetical out to you. Let's assume that they do get right. They have that late season surge in August and September. Maybe they miss out on the division. But now, all of a sudden, if you're, let's say, the winner of the National League Central and you have the third best record and Atlanta's the last team in, you're staring down having to face Strider, Sale, Schwellenbach. That's pretty dicey for an opposing offense to try and have to counteract to try and advance in the National League side of the bracket.
You know, it is interesting because we mentioned how important it felt like maybe macro sense for this Arizona and Atlanta matchup, and Arizona wins game one for two underachieving teams to this point. Atlanta to make the postseason here, Jensen, you can get them at plus $1.65. I think you could do, I would skip the division price of 12-1 and then maybe go that $1.65 to make the playoffs. And then to your point, 17-1 to win the pennant in the National League. Then you're sitting with two realistic tickets. One you've already cashed because they've made it to the postseason at plus money. And then you are playing with a little bit of house money and take the bigger shot at 17-1. I can't see them coming back. And by the way, they're behind the Nats still too. But I don't see them running down the Mets and or Phillies to win that 12-1. Would you rather have that plus $1.65? That feels like a playable number.
Yeah. I was just trying to think overall picture. If we're taking, if you take the Dodgers, if you take the Phillies and the Mets, can I interest you anywhere in, and I have a ticket on the Padres too at 13-1 to win the National League. Actually, I think it might be upwards. It might be 20-1. They're 14-1 to win it right now. I'm just trying to think of another team where eventually let's assume the Dodgers and one of the Phillies and the Mets get in for the top two seeds. Would you rather hit your wagon to that either Philly or Met team that doesn't make the top two and has to go through the wild card round? Or do you want, let's just say the Cubs win the Central, you want the Cubs at 7, or you want one of the wild card teams, and I said the Padres, and let's assume the Braves get in. Anyone outside of those teams, can you entertain the Giants at 22-1? Can you entertain the Diamondbacks with the uncertainty of Corbin Burns at 25-1? I can't get anywhere past, them as a viable team and or a team at the deadline that's going to do enough. It's not just getting in. Can you take down a Dodgers, Phillies, Mets the way they're currently constructed? Because they're going to make moves if they need to as well.
Well, the other team that did kind of the antenna went up is the Diamondbacks. But you mentioned the Burns injury. We don't know the severity of it right now. They are 2-1. So the Braves in context here, this conversation that Adam Burke was alluding to with maybe if you're looking down the board, Atlanta would be that team with the talent, with the front-end talent that they have with Acuna being back. Strider's back, but he hasn't looked like Spencer Strider so far, right? Arizona, would you have to wait on Corbin Burns, or would you say no? They pushed some chips in the offseason to go getting the Josh Naylors of the world and that ilk at plus $2. It's a longer shot than the Braves at plus $1.65 to make the postseason. Like, the Giants have got great front-end pitching. Is the lineup good enough to generate runs for them? That's a team they're directly looking up in the standings. Would you rather have Arizona at 2-1 or still that Braves ticket at plus $1.65?
I'd rather have the Braves, and the big reason why is the Diamondbacks bullpen is an absolute mess. Mm. And you and I have enough PTSD from watching the ends of Reds games in April and May about how to just give away games that you should win.
Yep.
And unfortunately, I mean, and here's the thing. Diamondbacks were top five in offense in pretty much every major offensive category except stolen bases. Like, they can hit. Like, yeah. There's no doubt about that. Their run prevention at the end of games is just what's holding them back.
Well, Adam, let's ask you the question here, because the Padres and Giants today, it's going to be Kyle Harrison against Nick Pivetta. I know this is a play you've already had. A low total here of 7. Right now, juice to the over at $1.18. Padres, small favorites here. If the great comeback win, down to their last out, down 2-0. Machado gets the big hit, and they win it in extras 3-2. Do you think that the Fathers keep this thing rolling today?
Yeah, I think real quick to piggyback on Jensen's point there, I mean, also the Diamondbacks rotation is in shambles right now, too. I mean, Zach Gallen has not been super effective. Corbin Burns is hurt. So getting outs throughout the entire game is going to be difficult for Arizona going forward. And this one here today, I mean, I like Nick Pivetta a lot. Nick Pivetta getting away from the AL East, getting away from Boston, you know, being able to go to a much better pitcher's park. He's found a ton of success here so far this season, and you know, gets to pitch in a pretty good park here again today with Oracle Park. Kyle Harrison is a guy that, I mean, I understand the upside. I see it. I get it. But right now, running a 188 batting average on balls in play, 89.3% left on base percentage, those are not sustainable numbers for anybody, let alone a guy who, you know, has control problems, has some issues here and there. Padres offense hasn't been great lately, but the Giants offense is the worst in baseball against four seam fastballs. Pivetta throws a lot of those. I think the Padres are the play here today. And, you know, I love the back end of their bullpen too. Two really good bullpens here, but I think the Padres are the one with the lead to protect. And I like them as a short favorite here on the road.
Yeah, Berkey, I actually played them on the run line too. The Padres plus $1.60, so I'm picking up what you're putting down there. One final question from me, just on the American League side as a whole, and you know, you and I obviously pay attention to the American League Central a lot. With Jack Caglione now jumping up to the big leagues, we saw kind of that surge in not only energy but production yesterday from Kansas City as a whole. Is that enough for you internally, or are there other parts that you would need from Kansas City? 18-1 right now to win the American League. Buying or staying power here for Kansas City with Cags and potential reinforcements for you?
Well, I hope the Guardians front office is paying attention to what calling somebody up did for the Royals. Not that the Guardians have Jack Caglione coming up by any means, but yeah, I mean, you know, look, I think that the thing that worries me the most for the Royals right now, you know, we'll see what Cole Reagans looks like coming back from his injury. I still have concerns about Seth Lugo and Michael Wacha with the big workloads that they had last year. Michael Lorenzen's kind of been very hit or miss for them. And Caglione's obviously going to help this offense. Pasquantino's been really good. Bobby Witt will continue to be good. Still a lot of guys I don't trust. The other six guys in that lineup, I don't trust at all. So I still don't love this Kansas City team in a lot of ways. Also, Lucas Erceg being out now. You know, they're missing some key pieces back there in the bullpen, kind of having some other guys cobble it together a little bit. But look, I mean, you know, Detroit is a flawed team too. Everybody's flawed in this division. So I could see the Royals going on a bit of a run. I can't see them winning the American League though. But, you know, there's still a lot of baseball to go, and I'm sure they'll, you know, get some reinforcements here at the trade deadline if they're able to.
Berkey, we appreciate you as always, my friend. We'll catch up again soon. When we come back, we're talking golf. Wes Reynolds is next here at VSiN by the Books.
You're tuned in to VSiN by the Books right here on VSiN.
We are back, VSiN by the Books. Great conversation with Adam Burke. In the last segment, we want to make you all aware out there. We are aware. The Belmont Stakes, it's the last chance here. The Triple Crown is going to wrap up this weekend. So on Saturday, before you bet the Belmont Stakes at Saratoga, where I used to go as a kid, you get in the action here with our friends at First Bet. So playing the free First Bet and VSiN Belmont Stakes Pick'em Challenge. You enter those picks for Saturday's top races to win great prizes, up to a $500 wagering voucher from First Bet. So head over to VSiN.com/Belmont to sign up and play. That is VSiN.com Belmont. Without further ado, we love our Wednesdays with Wes. Of course, our buddy Wes Reynolds, give him a follow on X at Wes Reynolds and the number one, joins us here in the Progressive Guest Line, does a great job here up and down the network. Wes, before we get to what we have to get to with the RBC, north of the border in the Canadian Open, we got to ask you about your Indiana Pacers. You came on this very program and told everybody they were going to beat the Knicks. I don't know how many people believed you. They did. What is your level of optimism from a fan versus a bettor before we get to the finals tomorrow night against OKC?
Cautiously optimistic as a fan, cautiously pessimistic, I guess, as a bettor. But look, I'm not, you know, the Pacers are in the finals. I'm not going to bet Oklahoma City to win the series. I can't do that. I admit that goes against everything in my DNA as a bettor. But this is the first time in a quarter century we've been in the final of the Pacers. So, you know, of course I'm going to say that they're going to win the series. And I think it is going to be, for that matter, a more competitive series than I think everybody thinks. A lot of people in the national media have been dreading. It's like, oh, this isn't what we want to see. We want to see superstars in the finals. I guess the MVP is not a superstar, that being Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. I guess we don't want to see the MVP in the finals, and we don't want to see two teams that I think really build this the right way through the draft and through, obviously, trades, because neither of these markets are the typical free agent destination. So I'm happy to have both of these teams here. So I think it's cool that we have the Pacers in Oklahoma City, and I think this is going to be tough for the Pacers because they haven't seen a team defend like this team. And this is going to be tough for OKC because they haven't defended a team that runs the stuff that the Pacers run.
I love it, Wes. And I think we're in for more high drama than people realize beginning tomorrow night. So I'm right there with you. Speaking of the high drama, the week before Oakmont, we get the RBC north of the border. Of course, a lot of the focus on Rory McIlroy, Ludvig Åberg. And I think your card begins with a couple of very intriguing names, Sam Burns, Taylor Pendrith. Give us the top of your card, why you made those selections.
Yeah, Jensen, I don't get to lose to Scottie Scheffler this week, so I get to lose to Rory McIlroy probably. The way it's been going, the absolute way it's been going with these players being so dominant, especially Scottie Scheffler. But, yeah, I did start my card with Sam Burns and Taylor Pendrith, by the way. This RBC Canadian Open, new venue this year. First time that this event is played at TPC Toronto, about an hour's drive north of Toronto. Par 70, about 7,400 yards. So this is kind of a big boy golf course for a par 70. And I started with two guys that can hit it and be big boys off the tee. And that's Sam Burns, 28-1. I think he's kind of finding his game again. Four top 20s, last five starts. Number one, numero uno on the PGA Tour for putting, averaging over a stroke gain per round. He was fourth in this event at St. George's, which we had 2022, which was also renovated by the same designer, Ian Andrew, who renovated this course. So maybe we have a little bit of correlation there. And then he's probably motivated by his best buddy on the tour, who is the one, Scottie Scheffler, winning all this time. It's like, man, I need to get my butt in gear and start winning again. And maybe this is the spot to do it. And then Taylor Pendrith, who you also mentioned, 28-1. There's always extra pressure on the Canadian players, right, to win this event because it's only happened once since 1954. That was Nick Taylor in 2023 when he beat Tommy Fleetwood in that playoff. And he's had success on this course before. This was a PGA Tour Canada event back in 2019 where he was the runner-up. And Pendrith is playing some pretty good golf. This at the PGA, 12th last weekend at the Memorial, where, by the way, he was second in strokes gained approach and strokes gained ball striking behind you-know-who, that being Scottie Scheffler. So he's been doing very well over the last couple weeks. I think he'll be able to withstand the pressure of trying to win his home open.
I love that. We always say it's pre-Wes is what we call it here. Wes, before we get your insight, and Pendrith was my guy on my card as well, a 28-1. Makes me feel better that you like it, that same name and number. And by the way, when you look at the Canadian Open logo, if you're watching at VSiN.com, you're going to see that the I is Nick Taylor and that 73-foot putt to beat Tommy Fleetwood. They redid the logo. that's how important it was, as you mentioned, for a Canadian to finally to win their Open Championship. That's what that is, in case you're wondering, and how important it is north of the border there. We talked a little bit about it before you came on here, Wes. When you have the qualifiers for the U.S. Open across the country, dare we say the world, to try to get into the U.S. Open, and now all of a sudden that is finally settled. Do you shy away from players that are playing this week in the Canadian Open that made or missed it to Oakmont next week, or do you think maybe they can get some little continuity if they did make that cut?
No, I think that there can be some carryover and some positive momentum. There was a couple guys that I played a little bit down the board on my card this week that did have to go through that Monday qualifying, that quote-unquote longest day in golf. One of them, Tjordbjørn Olesen at 50-1, who's got a couple top seven finishes in his last six overall starts. He had to play the Monday qualifying. He was in the one at York, Ontario, nearby where they're playing this week at Lambden Golf and Country Club, and he got one of the seven available spots up there. Tjordbjørn Olesen, we haven't really seen him contend in a lot of events this year. It's the guy that's won a bunch on the DP World Tour over the years from Denmark. He's 11th in strokes gained tee to green and 13th in strokes gained total. That's overall, not just in this week's field. So he's higher with some of the guys ahead of him in those stats not playing this week. But Tjordbjørn Olesen is a guy I think that can go well. And then another guy that I think that can go well and certainly didn't qualify on Monday was Erik von Rooyen, 100-1. EVR, if you remember a couple months ago, he was a distant second to Scottie Scheffler at the Byron Nelson, the CJ Cup down there in Dallas. But I think that course, TPC Craig Ranch, kind of a big course with some big fairways, long, is going to be very much like TPC Toronto. And then EVR, by the way, on Monday, he shot 13 under par over two rounds. He was in the Columbus, Ohio site for the U.S. Open final qualifying. He beat the rest of the field by six shots. And that was, by the way, the site where Cameron Young won the playoff and won that last spot over Ricky Fowler and Max Homa and a couple other guys. So EVR, I think, in very good form. I think when you qualify for that major, because you're always coming, you're behind having had to play in the Memorial Tournament, and then you got to go out Monday and play 36 holes, and then you accomplish it. And I think you've got a lot of momentum coming into this week, hopefully, for those two guys.
Wes, when you look at not only this tournament, but the momentum of guys that play well, maybe not necessarily win it, but heading into the U.S. Open next week, what do you focus on most for guys that potentially you want to play next week? And what should we be looking for maybe in this tournament for viable candidates and maybe multiple markets next week at Oakmont?
Yeah, from a stat standpoint, I'm obviously looking at approach. I think that's your baseline. When you get like a new course like this week and for TPC Toronto at this event, or really anywhere where it's not a course that they play every single year, I think you want to look at the iron play first and foremost. I think you want to look at total driving, which combines distance and accuracy, because here's what we know. This week, which is not going to be like U.S. Open difficulty, is going to have thick rough. You're going to have 4-inch thick rough, and you're going to have even thicker rough at Oakmont next week. So you want guys that are going to keep it out of that stuff, because you saw it at the Memorial if you were watching last weekend. If you got in the thick stuff, you basically took a shot penalty, even though it's not an official penalty for hitting it in a hazard, because you had to chip it back out basically into the fairway and just get it out as best as you can. So you got to keep it in the fairways, and that rough, we'll see it next week. We'll see those videos when you see these balls just get swallowed. So that's what I'm looking at, I think, from a stat standpoint.
All right, I have about a minute to go here. Let's get to the elephant in the room this week, at least. That is Rory McIlroy. Haven't seen him in a while here again. And again, it's been a minute since the Masters. He's plus 450 this week. He's plus 650 next week at Oakmont. What are you looking to see from Rory this week before you think about making a wager on him next week at Oakmont?
You know, his irons, because we know he's going to be really good off the tees, one of the best in the world in terms of not only distance, but strokes gained off the tee. So I expect he's going to drive the ball well. He's won the Canadian Open twice, not at this golf course. So he always loves this event and plays well in this event. But I want to see how his irons are doing, because that's what I think is separating him from Scottie Scheffler and really everybody from Scottie right now. And you know, see if he doesn't make a lot of like careless mistakes. And that's why Scotty, I think, is winning, because it's like the guy never makes a mistake. And when he does, he's able to recover better than anybody else.
Yeah, he's become Val Kilmer. He's become Iceman up there when he flies. Wes, we always appreciate it. Yes, sirs. Go Pacers.
Guys, thank you very much for having me. Appreciate it.
There he is, Wes Reynolds. Give him a follow, Wes Reynolds 1. And always check out the podcast, Long Shots, here in the network with Wes and Kelly Bidwin and Matt Brown. They do a great job each and every week breaking down the PGA Tour event. A numbers game with the aforementioned Matt Brown and Kelly Bidwin. They're up next.